I'm Frank Vaughn, and it is January 22nd, 2025, and written above the door of our hallowed Senate chamber here in Canada are the words Principum munus et resistere levitate multitudinis. These are the words written in Latin, the language of Arrhenius, and it translates in English to, it is the duty of the nobles to oppose the fickleness of the multitude. I'm going to read the other quotes, but before we get into catch-up gate with our Prime Minister and the situation that we find ourselves in here in Canada as regards relations with the United States, I want to put a little bit of color into the story I've painted about how terribly tragic Trudeau's treatment of the Senate actually is. So remember that quote, it is the duty of the nobles to oppose the fickleness of the multitude. Here are the other quotes, carved in wood, beautifully scribed, let reason prevail, it's actually written in Latin, plus apud nos vera ratio valiat quam vulgi opinio. Let reason prevail with me more than popular opinion. Power is more safely retained by cautious than by severe counsels. Nothing is well ordered that is hasty and precipitate. What is most honorable is most prudent. Dare to be prudent. Senates here in Canada and in the United Kingdom and in the United States are designed to be chambers of sober second thought. The idea behind the Canadian Senate was a senator is appointed, serves until they're 75, and they are picked from apolitical people. This is supposed to be the chamber of our wise men and women who can prevent the disorder that mass opinion can bring to a society. The multitude needs to have restraints. Everybody who talks about popular opinion, popular will, the penultimate position of popular opinion with executive or judicial power is something that people smarter than us the world over knew had to be checked, because the masses often get it wrong. I said recently in an X post that most Canadians have been on the wrong side of history for decades. It is true. I don't mean to be offensive, I don't mean to be insulting, and I don't mean to imply that my audience is among them. But we are on the wrong side of history, and we have been for a long time. Now, back to the Senate. And this quote that I started with, it is the duty of the nobles to oppose the fickleness of the multitude. It is supposed to be a chamber that is impartial, that is apolitical, that does not have to worry about the whims of the electorate and can bring wisdom to the table. Our prime ministers, right up to Stephen Harper, treated the Senate in this way, picking people, not stacking the Senate, picking people that could be respected by everybody. Then Trudeau came along. And in 10 years, 85 of 100 of our senators have been appointed by him, and they are radical leftists with a set of politics that will oppose any real reform in this country. Even if Poilievre gets 2 terms or 3 terms or 4 terms, he's really up against it, which is why it's going to take the people applying massive pressure to their senators to get anything done. They don't have to do anything for us. We can't pull them down. We don't elect them. We don't do anything. Now, the way the Americans addressed this senatorial problem is they just said, we're going to have a chamber that's dedicated to the land underneath people's feet, where they live, not how many live there. So California, with its tens of millions, has 2 Senate seats. And Rhode Island, with its microscopic footprint, has 2 Senate seats. Now, if Canada fairly distributed its senators, maybe this House of Nobility, which is what it is here in Canada, because you have no power over it, could be sacrosanct. If we distributed our Senate seats, 2 per province, it could be a chamber that actually represented the geography. But do you understand What stands between you and Senate reform is opening up the Constitution and changing the very articles of this federation and the provinces that are most advantaged by the current system, Quebec and Ontario, will never allow the rest of the country to have a say that influences its politics. The votes of the West, as much as the East Coast, count for nothing. Ontario, and more so Quebec, and the Laurentian elites rule this nation. Now, people have brought up in the comments many times a work called The Myth is Canada, or The Illusion of Canada, and it talks about how we're not even properly federated, and I've brought this up before. I'm not going to put any color on it. You go watch that. My argument is the people who hold the power in this country, the people who control the police, the people who control the military, and indeed control our borders and everything else about this nation are so opposed to reform that they do not have to allow you to have it, no matter how much noise you make. And so we have parted ways in a massive way from the beauty of our Senate hall. If you had have talked to me 10 years ago, I would have told you that the Senate, I would have defended the Senate the way that it was run. But I didn't realize that a radical was going to come along and ruin the entire institution. It would be much better if it was an elected Senate. It would be much better if we just modeled what the Americans have done. They have a beautiful Senate. This is why I'm often talking about how the American system is far superior to ours in every single way. When a politician like Pierre Poilievre stands up and says, Westminster parliamentarianism is the best system in the entire world, it makes me gag a little bit. Because the best system in the world is the Republic. Hands down, period. And it stood the test of time in spite of all the iterations. The Republic survives in spite of the Empire, which I've talked about in other videos. Because there is the American Empire and there is the Republic within its borders. And it survives and the Constitution survives. And they have a chamber of popular opinion called the House. And they have a chamber that's dedicated to the land and fairness called the Senate. And then they have the executive branch, which serves to execute the law, but also puts a check on that very same law. And when things get out of order, they go to the courts. An American citizen has the right to vote on a plethora of things at the national level, at the House level, at the Senate level, at the local level, at the county level. They vote for their sheriffs. They vote for their mayors. They vote. And if they want to, they can create ballot initiatives where they can create their own laws. They have jury nullification. So if a law is incredibly unfair and it gets litigated, they can nullify the law. People power. You don't have that in Canada. What are you proud of? I've been having a conversation back and forth with somebody I deeply love and respect about Canada, and she's somewhat upset that I've talked about, in the way that I've talked about, the American threat to our sovereignty. And she says, I love Canada. I love its people. I love the land. I've seen the whole country, and it's beautiful, and I entirely agree. But often what we're in love with is a political concept. The thing that we're hanging on to is a legalistic structure, which isn't even that legal, but we'll set that aside. There's a legalistic structure that is enforced at the barrel of a gun, and that is what Canada is. The land doesn't change, the people doesn't change, because the way we govern it doesn't change. And one way or another, we need to change how Canada is governed. Now, who is telling you out there that we'll open up the Constitution and we'll have that discussion and we'll get it done? Nobody. We can't even get first past the post change, which we shouldn't even be trying to change. The one bit of electoral reform that we talk about, changing first past the post, is the one thing we shouldn't be trying to change, because there's nothing wrong with it. It's only wrong in the context of all the other wrongness. The governor general who's appointed, the judiciary that's appointed without accountability, the Senate which is appointed without accountability. If you change those things, first past the post is a beautiful component of a fully functioning system. And we can't even get that done. Your country is backwards. There are people who chimed in the comments from the previous videos talking about how Medical is free here, and I hope you enjoy paying for medical if you're advocating for the American system. You have a right to sit on a waiting list in this country. You can't even get scanning done. Tens of thousands of people die every single year sitting on Canadian waiting lists. Where's your outrage about that? And more importantly, where is the solution? Funding isn't going to do it. Hiring more doctors and nurses isn't going to do it because that's not what we do. We increase funding and we increase administrators. We have more administrators per capita than many other nations providing universal health care. Where is your outrage about that? And on top of the thousands that are waiting on these wait lists, tens of thousands more leave this country after they've been taxed to death. They leave this country and go to America to get the health care they need and pay out of pocket. And oftentimes, they can't even write it all off. So they got to pay tax on the money that they've already paid tax. Like, this country is so broken politically. It's not the people. It's not the land. It's not the natural beauty. We retain those things. It is the legalistic structure that is fundamentally flawed. And the current time that we're living in right now, with the threat to our sovereignty, should serve to highlight for everybody how broken the system is. Let me provide an example. There's been a steady stream of people in the comments section on YouTube and on X who have said, I thought this guy resigned. This guy who, like, what is he even doing here? Women don't even sit like this, but I digress. Michelle Mayer, I think I'm pronouncing that right, said, I thought this piece of Satan resigned. I know it was all for show. This is unbelievable. The collapse of Canada is inevitable at this point. Does anybody care? Or are you fine if we become a third world country? This is the resignation that didn't actually happen. This guy had a press conference where he announced his intention to resign, and he is still leading this country, but he sent the government home in the middle of a national crisis so that his party can have a leadership race. And we're going to talk about that a little more because I find it really funny who the party's rallying behind. I don't think the Canadian public, even though I've said the masses have been on the wrong side of history, I think this one's so obvious that they're not going to buy into it. But I digress. The dollar is about to collapse. This is the tweet I made. The dollar is about to collapse and millions of Canadians enter an era of incredible suffering, all because our leaders support human and drug smuggling. And he talks about ketchup. In this press conference that he did yesterday, he said, if you just switch brands of ketchup, you'll be doing better. You'll be able to combat the tariff war, the trade war that these guys are starting because they don't want to secure the border. This is on top of, I believe it was Chrystia Freeland, who said, you know what, just cancel your Disney Plus subscription. You don't need that. That's how you're going to be able to make up for all the inflation. Your dollar in 2012 was trading at parity with the U.S. dollar. Now it's trading down at, what, 67 cents? We kick off a trade war, it's going to tank the Canadian dollar. Your savings are going to evaporate because they can't buy anything. And it's a double-edged sword because not only are we going to lose revenue from the United States, we're going to pay more in U.S. dollars for the stuff that we import from them, and it's going to crush us. And they talk about ketchup. Now listen, people have said Trump is not doing this because of fentanyl. It's an excuse to renegotiate the trade agreement that we have with him. Well, let's listen to Trump from yesterday, because this really bothers me. People are always talking about the news. Why aren't they going to primary sources? Donald Trump is probably the most open and accessible president you're ever going to get. In the first couple days he's been in office, he's given hours, literal hours of press conferences. Now, there's only one official press conference, but he sat in the Oval Office for 45 minutes signing executive orders and answered questions the entire time. If you have real questions about where the man stands, you should listen to the primary source, which is the words of the man himself. Let's do that right now. Let's see what is inspiring him to slap tariffs on Canada.
To impose tariffs on Canada and Mexico in an effort to force negotiations sooner on USMCA?
No, it's really not on USMCA. It has nothing to do with that. They've allowed both of them, Canada very much so. They've allowed millions and millions of people to come into our country that shouldn't be here. They could have stopped them, and they didn't. And they've killed 300,000 people last year, my opinion, have been destroyed by drugs, by fentanyl. The fentanyl coming through Canada is massive. the fentanyl coming through Mexico is massive, and people are getting killed, and families are being destroyed. I mean, the son gets killed, and the family is a basket case for the rest of their lives. I mean, I've seen mothers that thought they'd heal. They never heal. They say it gets worse with time. It gets worse with time. They lose.
So it's pretty clear that Trump is saying, at the very least, he's saying that this is about fentanyl and human trafficking. So the thing for Canada to do here, if we do intend to avoid a destructive trade war, which will destroy the lives of millions of Canadians, it just is what it is, all we have to do, if you think Trump is lying, if you think, as some commentators and some people online say, he's just playing for leverage to renegotiate a trade agreement, if that's what you believe, then all you got to do is call his bluff. It's that easy. You come out very strong and you say, yes, sir, we will enforce our border. Yes, we will strengthen it. We will get the fentanyl off the streets. You will make big announcements about the bust that you're making, and you will bust it up, and you will show the Americans that you're making progress. It's going to be a lot cheaper to do that than it is to engage in a trade war, which could end up costing us hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars a year and tank the entire economy and rip the dollar down, evaporate your savings, and destroy even more of this nation's vitality. Call Trump's bluff. But instead, they defend the porous border, and they defend in a really strange way. They rally behind, and this is what they're doing. Remember the quote from the beginning of this video about how the truth disguises, or how mistakes and how error disguise itself. Whenever politicians are talking, oftentimes the opposite is the truth. And I don't think that's the case when it comes to Daniel Smith right now, but it's certainly the case for those who are wearing Chinese-made hats that say Canada is not for sale. Well, they've been selling the country for decades, gutting this nation. How dare they? How dare they? Instead of just calling Trump's bluff, if that is indeed what it is, they rally behind drug smuggling and human trafficking, and make no mistake, that's what they're doing. Why do you think that is? I don't know the answer, but there's certainly an Occam's razor play to be made here. Why would you defend the defenseless? Why wouldn't you just call his bluff? Why wouldn't you just say, sir, we are working on it, and go down there and talk to him? And then, if he wants to still impose tariffs, he would have to make it about something else. You'd call his bluff, and it would be a power play. Instead, they're setting us up to be destroyed. Now, I want to put some color to this idea that we have cartels operating here in Canada. I'm going to start off with this guy first. There is no money for border security. The debt load is killing us. Really bad take, Dan, because it's going to be really expensive prosecuting a trade war. Hundreds of billions of dollars on an ongoing basis, and that's just for starters, while denying ourselves revenue by cutting off energy exports and subjecting us to further punitive measures by the United States, directly contrary to the executive orders declaring various national emergencies that Trump did on day one. Watch my other videos. Context, folks. There's a big picture here. Trump is telling us something. It would be cheap by comparison. Next up is December 31st, 2012. This from Philo Bates, Terribilis. Hopefully that doesn't mean something terrible in Latin. December 31st, 2012, exchange rate was a dollar. January 18th, 2025, exchange rate is 69 cents to the U.S. dollar. What a moron bringing up ketchup. And it is. It's so true. Ketchup and Disney Plus is what these guys, they're trying to relate to you, to bribe you into giving them votes. They're trying to be relatable, but what they're doing is destroying you. They're not even leading you down the garden path. The garden's, it was burned and torn down a long time ago. They tilled the whole thing under, and they're trying to tell you it's beautiful flowers. An F-150 in 2013, compare the price of an F-150 in 2013, compare it to today, it's tripled in price. The purchasing power of your dollars and your savings are going away. You should probably be getting out of Canadian dollars and into something else that's a little bit more of an inflation protection, as well as a hedge against this trade war. Look, something that you need to understand is not only is Trudeau talking about all options being on the table, and not just Trudeau, this is Doug Ford, this is all the premiers except for the only wise one, Daniel Smith, maybe Scott Moe. He's got to make up his mind what team he's on instead of trying to play both sides of the fence. Because honestly, I don't understand what he's doing. He should be stronger on this, and I look forward to him being stronger on this. But I digress. Trudeau has said, this is so key, he has said he's going to do this trade war. He's going to kick things off. Instead of securing the border and dealing with the smuggling problem, he's going to kick off a trade war. On top of that, he promised yesterday in his press conference that any impacted Canadian businesses will be assisted by the federal government. Doesn't that sound wonderful? Doesn't that sound lovely? Doesn't that make you feel all warm and gushy inside? What you need to understand is when he says that, he means he's going to print money, further putting pressure on the dollar to devalue it, further inflating prices. That's what he's talking about. So he's going to replace real concrete trade income for the nation with printed dollars backed by nothing. We don't even have gold reserves in this country anymore. We sold them all off. He put the nail in that coffin. You know, if I can just get conspiratorial for a minute, you couldn't pick a better cadre of people to be deliberately destroying the country. People sometimes, you know, oftentimes people say, oh, they're just idiots. Maybe it's intentional because everything they're doing is leading us not just into perdition, but disillusion. The nation is under assault. And I sometimes wonder if the only thing we can do is get a good deal from the United States because these guys are tanking it. And I wonder if it's all part of a plan sometimes to just destroy this country. And they do it. Think back to the quote at the beginning of this video. They do it dressing themselves up in words that are the opposite of their actions. So gathering under a banner of Canada's not for sale, Chinese-made hats, and we have to save Canada, their actions lead to destructions. I'm giving you the solutions. I'm telling you to call Trump's bluff if it's that. I don't believe it's that. I'm going to tell you about that next. What do we got up? I'll finish on this note because he's talking about ketchup. But this is the victory lap. These people, and it's not just Trudeau, it's the Liberal Party itself, and I'm going to tell you why, right shortly, it's the Liberal Party. Inflation came down last month. Our GST tax break on everyday essentials is part of the reason why, and it's still in effect until February 15th. It's not even a tax cut. It's a tax break that expires in a few weeks. And this is what they have to scrape the bottom of the barrel for to come up with a victory lap. This 1.8% marker in December is on top of all the value. Remember the quote about the 2013 price of the F-150? All of that's baked in. The purchasing power you've lost is already baked in. This is on top, and it's compounding. It's not measured to a peg of, say, $1,990. Once inflation is baked into the money supply, the next percentage is compounding. It's on top of all the accumulated inflation before. It's hard to sometimes contain the outrage because the lies are layer on layer on layer on layer, and you try to peel them back, and then some moron online comes along and throws a quip at you. They're missing the whole point. I'm trying to tell you what's happening. I'm trying to show you the layers. I'm trying to peel it back and make it understandable. These guys are destroying the country. This thing that he's doing here, it's mocking you. He's rubbing your face in it. This is no victory. This is nothing. We're in the middle of a trade war with no government. We're in the middle of the dissolution of our country. And these are the potentials. These are the potentials. And he's talking about a tax break as if it's some great victory. Now let's fill in the blanks about these cartel ties to Canada. First, I'm going to start off with some tweets I'm going to read for some individuals. Johnny says, fentanyl labs throughout Canada exporting the finished product into the huge U.S. market. The last 10 years has seen mass amounts of raw material coming from China free and manufactured in Canada into poison and shipped into the United States. Some wonder why Trump is peed off. Next is another fellow who says the Sonora cartel controls the downtown east side of Vancouver right now. The Vancouver airport, the Vancouver ports, the Pacific border crossing, Seattle, LOA, all the way down to the Mexican border. The corruption is rampant in Vancouver. and nobody's doing anything about it. These are not idle tweets. These are known facts. I'm going to read some web insights. Historical data suggests that Mexican cartels, including the Sinaloa cartel, often linked with the operations of the Sonora cartel, have been active in Vancouver for some time. They have established connections with local gangs, particularly in the lower mainland, leveraging Vancouver for drug trafficking, money laundering, and other criminal activities, including human smuggling. Reports from as early as 2014, so we've had 11 years to build on this, indicate that Mexican cartels have representatives in Vancouver to broker drug deals, with the Sinaloa and the La Familia cartels being explicitly mentioned. The presence of these cartels has been a national priority for the RCMP, highlighting the significant influence they have on criminal markets in Canada. This is recognized by the RCMP. This is recognized at the highest levels of the Canadian bureaucracy. There are people on Twitter and in the news and in politics who deny the scale of this problem. Yet it is recognized by their very own bureaucrats. This is just the latest. Historic cocaine bust in Ontario has ties to Mexican drug cartel, specifically the Sonora cartel. What is Trump telling you when he talks about the Sonora cartel? It comes up when he talks about these tariffs. He specifically mentions a killing linked to the Sonora cartel. When he signs, wake up, people. I pray to God. I pray to the Father above that you just wake up. When he talks about the Sonora cartel, when he signs these executive orders declaring them terrorist organizations, when he makes all of these moves enabling executive power, know in your hearts and in your minds that these are just the opening salvos in a prolonged battle. And ask yourself why your politicians are uniting around opposition to these cartels. Rather than signaling they will comply and deal with the issues in Canada, they're looking to trigger a trade war that will ruin hundreds of thousands and millions of lives and cost us our currency and maybe dissolve our country rather than stop this problem. Understand that in addition to these cartels being set up very well here in Canada and taking advantage of so many aspects of our broken system, this is what it creates for us locally. This is what your politicians support. Safe supply, needle exchange programs. Safe supply is government-sponsored drug addiction. Canada has set up a very favorable climate as part of our national and provincial and local politics for drugs to flourish. This country is a clearinghouse for the damage that is taking hundreds of thousands of lives. Right here in North America, fentanyl, meth, heroin, all the other drugs that create this situation, they tell you that this is progress. It is disillusion. It's destruction. It is anti-life itself. This is the problem that Trump has very rightly identified. It is the problem that your politicians are rallying behind. They want to preserve this problem. They don't want to solve it. They want to destroy our country and trigger a trade war to keep this happening. Wake up, people. This is what's going on. This is reality. And while the country is dealing with this, the very politicians who created this mess in the NDP and in the Liberal Party for all of these years, the Liberals right now, as I've said, have sent the government home. Everything they're doing is without Parliament. They only have a few tools at their disposal. We can't have debate. We can't do anything. We can't have an election, which the people want, because the Liberals are having a leadership process. And right now, they're rallying behind Mark Carney, a man whose name, I don't have my wallet with me, whose name is on your money. And they're billing this guy as an outsider. Remember what I said at the beginning of the video? The quote at the beginning of the video is to highlight that whatever they say, the opposite is true. They dress up the lie as truth. They show you their hand, but you have to have eyes to see and ears to hear. Trudeau's environment minister endorses Carney, vows to work with him on carbon tax replacement. Four ministers have now backed Carney. He has more endorsements from the failed government than anybody else. And who's second in line? Chrystia Freeland, a part of the failed government. The very people who told you you were getting richer off the carbon tax are now campaigning to replace it. Canada, I don't believe you're this stupid. Even those people, the majority of people who have been on the wrong side of history, I think you can see this one clear. You know, this one's too obvious. Carney is your quintessential globalist. He is an architect behind everything that has sundered this nation for the last 10 years. Longer, in fact, because he was a Harper appointee to the Bank of Canada. Somehow, the Liberals, in their vanity and their love of lying, are trying to use Stephen Harper appointing him as a talking point to lull conservatives back to the party, to lull people they've lost back to the Liberal Party. I was no lover of Stephen Harper. Undoubtedly, we were better off under him. Undoubtedly, the country had better policies under him. But in the perspective of the times, before we had Trudeau, he didn't look all that good. He set a course, and Trudeau rocketed us down that road to disillusion. And Carney, I don't even think I finished explaining this the other day. Carney's logo is a split Canadian flag. He's only got one half. I told you how two heads coming together in compromise is the very idea behind the maple leaf. Well, he's ripped one of those heads off because now you're going to be told what to do. The man is talking about how we're doomed. The good times are over. He's bringing in an era of suffering. That's his campaign message. An era that the people who are endorsing him brought to our shores. The people who are preparing a completely unnecessary trade war with the United States to defend cartel control of Canada. This is on top of the Communist Party of China's influence in this country. This is on top of buying our oil from despots all over the world instead of producing it right here. We buy Russian oil, folks. Daniel Smith has been talking about this. For all the talk of Russia, and the war in Ukraine and stopping them, we import their oil if it's blood money. If the oil is evil, why are we buying it when we could get it right here? It's under our feet. Middle Eastern despots who make their women wear bags on their heads. That's where we get our energy from. Why? Why? There is so much more detail that I could put in video format. Some of it I'm going to do in later videos. But do you not see? Is this case that I've spelled out before you not enough to understand that your leaders' rallying cries are a false song? That everything they say is duplicity. Everything they say is a lie dressed up as the truth. They talk about Canadian unity, but their actions have done nothing but undermine and destroy us unto today, where they are lining up policies that may put the final nail in our coffin. Don't blame me. I'm just telling you the truth of the situation. You really need to turn your anger on those who have created this mess. Stop living in denial. Start understanding. We are at a point of acute crisis, and even if it's mitigated, even if we get an election and Poilievre is elected in a landslide, the problems I highlighted at the beginning of this video with the Senate don't go away. The problems that I highlighted with the judiciary don't go away. The country will lurch onwards, still broken, still backwards, still committed to myths. And the only thing that holds us together is an idea of a political concept and a union that doesn't really exist. This country is overrun. And that's what it's all about. I'm Frank Vaughn. I do this all myself. I spend hours compiling information for these videos. I edit it all myself. There is no advertising. There is no sponsors. All I have is you. If you like the work, consider supporting it via the links on my website, It'll keep it going. I'll see you in the next one. Did you know that I have a website? FrankVaughn.ca, the ultimate repository for all of my work, and a backup location just in case the censors come for me again. And if you like the content, please consider using the donate link in one of the options available. There are no paywalls, there is no advertising, and there is no Patreon, and I intend to keep it that way. Thank you for your time and your consideration.